The economy took a big dive because of the shelter-in-place orders to slow down COVID-19, but economy can be defined and configured a lot of different ways. We're about to get an education in the workings of an offers and needs market, a way for people with goods and services they want or have to trade those goods and services. Doesn't have to involve cash. The Post Growth Institute, based in Ashland, offers training in running such markets, and our guides are Crystal Arnold, who's the Director of Education for the Post Growth Institute. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you. Hello.
And we also have with us Jamie Powell, who's a massage therapist, coach, social artist, and activist. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good to have you both. So, Crystal, start us off. We've had Donnie McClurkin, the executive director of the Post Growth Institute, on several times. For the people who might have missed that, what is PGI about?
Yeah, I've been working with the Post Growth Institute for about 3 years, and we are a nonprofit really seeking to accelerate the world's shift to an economy that does thrive within ecological limits. And our research really highlights the importance of monetary circulation for this economic revival. We really focus on social justice, economic sustainability, and really are building a movement to harness our collective gifts and abilities and look at all the great groups that are looking at creating a more thriving economy.
Does the offers and needs market fit neatly within the idea of that post-growth economy?
It sure does. My training is as an economist. In 2007, I graduated from SOU, and really think it's crucial to redefine what wealth is beyond growth, which is measured in our GDP, gross domestic product. I think that that only gives us part of the picture, and we really need to look at all the other factors which contribute to our well-being. So we found that the offers and needs market is really kind of building the culture of caring for each other as we move forward here.
It's a bit of a leap for a few people, I would think, Crystal, because, you know, the idea of, you know, my money's going to grow. I have to put my money in this account so it will grow over time. Everything is based on growth in a capitalist system, at least as we define it generally.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, in redefining our wealth, success, ownership, post-growth economics really creates this avenue where a shrinking GDP, as we're seeing now, can actually increase our well-being instead of moving us into this inevitable despair of recession. Because I think what's clear to all of us is that we need an economy where consumption is greatly reduced. And so instead of framing this like having less, we need to look at the goal of economy as really fulfilling the needs of people and caring for one another. So the post-growth economy is kind of opening up this space for us of having a better quality of life while reducing consumption.
Based on something other than just numbers.
Right.
Jamie Powell, I want to bring you in here and ask about your interest in this. I noticed that, among other things, you offer resilience and resistance training, and I wonder if the idea of offers and needs market also fits within that framework.
Yeah, it does. Thank you for asking. So my passion right now is community weaving together, and I also have a background as a performer and an artist, and part of resilience and resistance training ends with a final project where the participants put together a performance, usually to show the community itself. And so in that way, here in Ashland with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, we have such an opportunity to engage artists, and the offers and needs market is just such an awesome way for people to express their passions, what they're wanting to contribute, and to transcend this starving artist notion, and, you know, the notion in general that people have to go without even if they're not having financial wealth, that our wealth is in our time and in our treasure and in our talents. And the offers and needs market really gives an opportunity for people to feel their worth and their value in community. And, you know, that's made all the difference in the world for me and for several people who have benefited from this offers and needs market, which is why I'll be participating in the upcoming training that's starting on June 4th.
June 4th. And what kind of training? It's obviously online training, is that right?
Yeah, Crystal can say more about this, but this is the offers and needs market training mm-hmm. so that people can facilitate these in their own neighborhoods, which is a passion of mine right now because that with the shelter-in-place orders, it became really important to know who our neighbors were and if there were any, you know, for example, elders in the neighborhood that needed groceries or people that needed help mowing their lawns or things like that with safe social distance. And the offers and needs market became really valuable for people in neighborhoods here in the Valley to actually meet each other and to hear what people were needing and wanting. And so to have an actual training where people are learning how to facilitate that on their own is really exciting.
Offers and needs markets is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Jamie Powell is a participant with Post Growth Institute, massage therapist, coach, social artist, and activist. Crystal Arnold is director of education at the Post Growth Institute, which is based in Ashland. You can join the conversation on the exchange. If you're willing to think about ways to think about the economy differently or not, join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So let's get down to specifics here, Crystal. I mean, is an offers and needs market an event like a farmer's market?
Great question. Yeah, the offers and needs market, which people can watch a video about and find out more at offersandneeds.com. So this is a two-hour guided process where community members come together. Most of them have been in person over the last decade. We've been running these around the world. And it's easily adapted to virtually. So we've been doing them on Zoom for small groups or larger groups. It's really scalable. So basically, it's people coming together to identify and exchange their passions, knowledge, skills, resources, opportunities, and needs. So in small rotating groups, people share their offers and needs with the ability to determine their availability, the urgency, the location, and whether the exchange involves payment, barter, negotiation, or is gifted. And so this is distinct from time banks, which some people may have heard of, which is an egalitarian way to make hour-for-hour exchanges of services. And this really incorporates a whole lot more things and really is a chance for people to come together and get creative, right? It's amazing when people hear other people's needs, they in turn think of more things they can offer. And so it's cool to see people just have a joyous experience of being generous together. Some examples, participants have gained employment, found places to live, promoted new businesses, located specific items they needed. We had one woman here in Ashland at the Bellevue Grange last year at one of our events who was an outdoor educator, and she had just had all of her things stolen that she was using for these programs, and so there were many offers that evening to gift her things, and you know, things like actually initiating friendships, or like Jamie said, getting to know your neighbors. And a cool thing we've found, Jeff, is people it really boosts their self-esteem and positivity. They trust people, and they can source more of their goods and services locally.
So it sounds like networking is the primary thing here, just to make sure you're connecting people who've got stuff or services or desires to get them all in one place.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So, and Jamie, when you were talking about you know, the starving artist, it comes to mind that as an offers and needs market works, there's a chance to rejigger values here and not just go with what I don't know. If you give quote hands in the air here, but society or the market decides somebody's time or efforts are worth. It sounds like, you know, whatever the two parties to the decision come up with is where the value is placed.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Thank you for asking that. What I found in this area is that a living wage is actually more like $20 an hour when you really look at the cost of living and all of those things. And so as an artist, you know, oftentimes we find ourselves doing things like cutting people's lawns or babysitting or house sitting or pet walking or things like this. And so when we can offer those things to, so that we can do our art and our passion and work tandemly like that, when people who have the resources can afford to pay for something like that, then the whole economy kind of shifts. And so we can say, like, what is a living wage for me? What am I willing to give freely? What am I needing some financial exchange with? And what do I have to barter? And, yeah, like Crystal was saying, you might be surprised when you sit at a table. Normally it's done sitting at tables in Zoom. We have breakout rooms. But being surprised at what I have to offer that others find valuable and what people are willing to exchange for that is really enlightening, to realize my own worth and to realize what I can ask for and what people are willing to offer and support. It's pretty profound what happens in those breakout rooms and at those tables.
So, Crystal, do people sometimes come to Offers and Needs markets not thinking they really have much to give or offer, and they're surprised?
Totally. That is more common than you would imagine. Even professionals who are have just done one thing and focused on that for their career can be like a little nervous, and then they realize, they warm up, oh, I do have passions about other things. And I think it's important also to put this in the bigger context of what's happening with this pandemic. We're really going to see some economic challenges here coming up. You know, looking at the unemployment numbers, almost 39 million people across America have filed for unemployment benefits in the last 9 weeks. Nearly all of these are first-time claims, and this is 22% of the labor force. It's just unprecedented numbers. So all these people who may be wondering what their value actually is, and to acknowledge the isolation that many people were already feeling that's being exacerbated, the kind of depression, anxiety, grief that many listeners may be feeling right now, this is like a way to get out, to connect with people, to maybe restart your life and begin to exchange with people again. And some of the things that we have found, we survey people after these events. We've had some amazing things come out of it. 43% of people feel more positive about their lives. 50% are more willing to trust others when they're exchanging goods. And 77% of participants feel more confident expressing their offers and needs. And finally, I'd just like to give you some numbers on how it does impact the local economy. 53% of participants meet a potential collaborator. 1 in 10 meet a possible employer. And 11% a business partner. And so at the end, we were so happy to see that 35% of participants plan to source more of their goods locally. So that was a lot of numbers, but as an economist, I really think it is important to track the impact of our work.
Right, yeah, you want to be able to quantify what's going on here. But it sounds like this is sort of extending the idea of the local food movement just a little further, that, you know, there are other local services and goods that you can obtain.
Yes, exactly. And there is a movement, too, to source more food locally. And I was just speaking to someone in Boulder, Colorado, who's organizing a network of farmers and who's very excited for an industry-wide kind of use of this process. One quick example, last year at SOU, there was a hemp symposium that they had, a couple hundred people there in the hemp industry, and they used this process with about 75 people, you know, big whiteboard rolling in the center of the room where people would put colored post-it notes of different colors for their offers and needs, contact information. And so I think there's a lot we can do in that professional sense, too.
We have a comment from a listener in Merlin, Mark, who doesn't use the internet. He just dropped off his information. He wants to know how he can contact the Post Growth Institute by phone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, 541.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have 631-8680 as a...
That's great. That's okay. Donnie's number. He's our executive director. And info@postgrowth.org is also email for people.
Okay, info@postgrowth.org. You know, this does sound similar to the abundance swap that Jeff Golden hosts in December at the Armory in Ashland and has for 18 years now. Started actually while he was still hosting this program.
Yeah, I've been to that. I think that spirit of generosity, we're like bringing out the humanness in people, and it really connects people across political, economic divides. We've had wealthy people sitting at the table with homeless people, and they're coming together as equals, both with offers and needs. And yeah.
All right. So, final thoughts, Jamie, on what people should bring in the way of a mindset to an offers and needs market.
Yeah, I think an openness and a vulnerability, a willing to have the courage to really say maybe what your dream or what your vision is as an artist, and just be prepared to be surprised that you never know who in the room has exactly what you're needing to manifest the dream you've been trying to do on your own. And so it really also takes the spirit of interdependence to trust that I don't think any of us can do anything that we really want to do alone, completely alone. So we're deeply connected in that way.
So the training, Crystal, begins on June 4th, is that right?
Yes, people can register now at offersandneeds.com. You'll find all the information. It's a four-week webinar, and it's pay as you can, because we really do realize the economic situation and just want to get this out there to people.
So once the training is done, I mean, are people like pretty much ready to run their own offers and needs markets?
Exactly. We'll have all the templates, a step-by-step outline of the process that you take people through. And it's incredibly valuable for people to be seen as conveners in their own communities.
Interesting timing for this. I know I was just reading this morning about the concerns that people have about handling cash in the midst of the pandemic. So lots of concerns all coming to the fore. And one of the ways to address them is through this offers and needs market offered by the Post Growth Institute, offersandneeds.com. Crystal Arnold is the director of education for the Post Growth Institute. Jamie Powell, a believer, a massage therapist, coach, social artist, and activist. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.